So if I can get Perry from T-Rock to come on up here, Perry Kirsten. I introduced earlier to many of you a while ago the team from T-Rock, and that stands for the Renovators of Canada. And essentially they're contractors. Perry's going to describe a little bit about business model and things of that nature. But more importantly, we're actually just going to have a little conversation. Perry and I are going to have a conversation he's a contractor and I'm a real estate investor. So let's paint the picture, if you will. Jared painted a picture earlier about you're doing two properties a month and you're doing this as a full-time business and you're renovating and shaking and baking and doing deals. Not everyone in this room will be that. Will do that. I won't even do that. I firmly attest that I will not do that. But I have a large portfolio of rental properties, and it may even be that some of you might have one or two properties, and that's it. And you might need some work done. You might just need some flooring and some paint and just some general work done. Now, how do you hire a contractor, or how do you interview a contractor? And how do you know that you're well protected? And those are all the kind of things that we're gonna cover here. So first of all, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a round of applause to Perry from T-Rock, please. So everybody in this room, we're gonna change. Remember, one of the things we're gonna change some perceptions. Everyone who hires a contractor, every contractor is money hungry. They screw us over and they just skip out and never do the work. Is that true? No, obviously not.
Right? Not from my perspective.
How many of you watch Homes on Homes? Right? Isn't it, wouldn't you, if you watched a few episodes on Homes, wouldn't you believe that that's what contractors really are? So I actually commend Perry, you, and Dustin for coming here. This is very, very brave of you. You are. You are changing the perception of what people think of contractors. And from our conversations, I 100%, I get it that you guys are changing the way you want to work with homeowners and investors. I 100% get that. So I got a list of some questions. And also Perry, more importantly, has some questions of me. He's going to interview me as a customer, which how refreshing is that? So I'm looking and I have a job to do, Perry. Why should I hire a contractor or someone from T-Rock versus just finding a handyman?
There's a lot of things to look at, actually. Everybody here has generally full-time work. You've got your family commitments, and then you're going to do a flip or some renovations. And you really need to begin searching for a reputable company. And we all hear that, and you can really just throw it out there as a cliche. Yeah, you have to have a reputable company. You have to check that they have insurance, that they're registered with WSIB or WCB here in Alberta. General liability. All of those things in my world are something that every contractor should have, but not every contractor does. And I know there's a lot of perception that there's a difference in price when you're dealing with someone who is insured properly and has WCB versus someone who doesn't. And it's...
Okay, what can happen if I hire somebody who's not insured and they're working on my property? What can happen? Can something significantly happen to if there's an injury or something? Or
right, exactly. So if somebody comes to work in your home, even if you go into that home and you bring a friend or a partner to take a look at it and somebody falls and gets hurt, if somebody from the neighbor of a child comes and runs on your property and it's a construction site and they get hurt and this person doesn't have general liability, the homeowner will be responsible for that.
See, I'm already starting to like him. That's why I'm getting a little closer already. So, yeah. So what else? What else? Some of the things that we should be looking for when hiring or interviewing contractors?
Ultimately, most people, construction is fluid, right? Everybody knows here that you get a quote, but then all of a sudden the quote changes because somebody sees something different. Oh, I didn't see that. I'm going to give you a new price. And so the price never really seems to be the price. And it's that transparency that you want from a contractor that really can set up a good relationship. If you can find a contractor who's willing to share with you their labor rates, put a budget together. You've already gone through today of doing your homework ahead of time and setting your budgets. At that time, you need to verify that with your contractor. And your contractor should be able to, rather than just give you a lump sum, it's $20,000 to do your renovation, and you're not really sure what it includes or doesn't include, you should be able to, you get a clear understanding of where every dollar is being spent. Because if your contractor really is an honest and transparent person, he'll have no problem sharing anything with you. You should be able to share that as labor rates are $65 an hour or $45 an hour. I think it's going to take 10 hours to do the drywall in this room, and it's going to take 2 hours to paint it, and this is why I came up with the price I came. Those things are easy for a contractor to do, but if they do that, of course, then their margin can sometimes be less, right? So they bulk price it for you. And then they include some things, and they exclude some things, and then they start to change that price. And it's a transparency. If you can create a relationship with a contractor that is transparent, I think you really have a win-win, where the investor can trust the contractor, and the contractor, if they can create a good relationship with what could be future work in the steady work in the future. And all contractors are looking for that too, right? Just like you guys looking for income, you know, we're looking for income too. Cash flow is very important to us. Setting up clear payment terms, understanding what job we've got in front of us and how we're going to have a relationship with our investor.
You know, bottom line is the contractor you're hiring is a business, right? How would you feel? You know, some people feel that I just have to grind my contractor in every way, shape, or form. How would you feel if every tenant came to you on wanting to apply for rent and all they did was they grinded you on the price every person that came in, right? You might not choose to go to that. So you might not choose to keep going with the clients. You have to make some money along the way as well.
That's right.
Obviously.
It's true. If a customer continues to grind on me for price, we will stop doing business.
But you'd also shared something with me, and I know a lot of RAIN members, we have some access to some good pricing, but you have some fantastic, with all the work that you've done in bulk buying and things like that, you have some access to some really, really sharp pricing. Maybe you can explain some of that.
That's right. Because of the volume of business that we do, we have contractor discounts. And everybody here knows contractor gets discounts on a lot of materials. And what we do, or what contractors can do, is we offer our discounts to our customers. And then what we do is charge a markup on that price. So it might be like a 10 and 10, which means we charge an extra 10% for our overhead and 10% for management. So if we receive a 50% discount on tile, you only pay the contractor's cost on that, plus maybe a markup of 10 and 10, and you're actually saving 30% on your tile.
Off of retail.
Off of retail.
Off retail. So you get good pricing, then you mark up off of the good pricing that you get.
That's right. Not on top of retail, on top of the cost.
Right. And that's fully disclosed?
It's fully disclosed.
Right.
And so, again, if you're building a relationship with a contractor who's open and you do these types of programs, he should have no problem in showing you the receipts. So if there's a billing cycle that you create with a contractor, which should be negotiated up front, you should also negotiate in that he should have no problem supplying receipts for you. So if
do you provide all receipts of all materials?
We do.
Yes.
Okay. As a company, we do. So we, to give you insight maybe into T-Rock, but what we do is we have biweekly billing. We have all our guys out there on GPS, so the hours are absolutely accounted for, and then we supply all the receipts for everything we purchase. And that is shown to the customer every 2 weeks. And I think if your contractor is an honest and wants to do a lot of business with you, I don't think you should have any problem in showing you those things.
So you're tracking the hours of the people via GPS of when they're on the job site, when they're not.
That's
you're
right.
Providing that information. You're providing all the costs and the discounts that you're passing on. You're upcharging from the discount, and you're providing all this information to us as the person writing the check?
That's right.
Oh, that's quite refreshing.
Sure.
Right. So I know I've dealt with some contractors in the past that it's literally it's a smoke and mirrors, it's a shell game.
That's right.
That they come up and they come up with a budget, and then all of a sudden the budget, they do the budget so they get the job, and then after they've gotten the job, they never ever even come close to the budget ever. So how do you typically handle, you obviously set up a budget.
Yes,
everybody
do.
Agrees to it that we're going to work together. What happens if there's any changes to the budget? What happens?
So from our perspective, what we do, or what you should do, is you should have a sign-off on the budget. And even though it's a budget and it's an estimate or it's fluid, you still need to hold the contractor accountable for that budget. He is an expert in his field, or should be an expert in his field, and he can't tell you that, you know, I expected the drywall to, or the electrical to take 20 hours, but you know what, it took 80. Sorry, I missed. You know, that shouldn't happen if you're dealing with a reputable contractor. And so as a company, you should be, they should have a track record of performance that you can call a person who had done business with this person before. They were using the same costing system. How accurate was the person in the initial budget? Did it change at all? Did it change because of change in scope, or did it change because he missed? And that variance really shouldn't be plus or minus 10%, really.
What is your typical? Do you track that metric? Your variance versus budget versus what are you running at about?
We're 90 to 95% accurate.
You're within 5% of budgets.
We are.
Wow,
that's. You know, our goal, in my opinion, a contractor's goal should be to set up the budget for you so that's a realistic budget. You know exactly what you're in for as an investor or even just as an end user. And the goal of the contractor shouldn't be to necessarily increase that budget, but to try to beat the budget. And if your contractor can beat the budget, the referral work that comes to us because we did that is huge.
Right.
Right. And that to me is more value than trying to jam a customer for a few extra dollars at the end by changing the price.
Now, also, and we had a really brief conversation earlier, and I said, I'm going to play the roles. I don't know a lot, and I got flooring, I got tiles, and I got all this paint. Are you okay if I bring my materials to your guys to do the work, or if I want to buy the materials, are you okay if that? How would you recommend you work with that?
As a contractor, the first thing, as I say, is no. and the reason is because we're fully transparent. So we show all the receipts for those things anyway. You'll see what's there. But the biggest reason is you've now made me accountable for a budget. And in all likelihood, you've also made me accountable for a timeline. So I'm in this business every day. I understand timelines. I understand lead times to get materials there and when I need them. If all of a sudden you take that responsibility away from me, then how can I also be responsible for the timeline? If you tell me that you're going to buy the hardwood and I need the hardwood in 5 days and you thought you had no problem in getting it because your store rep said, yeah.
You know a guy who sells hardwood out of the back of his truck.
And he always has it tomorrow. I'll have no problem. I'll go get it. Sure enough, we're ready to install hardwood. Hardwood's not there. You went to get it from your guy or the store. They said they had it in stock. Now they don't. It's a week out. What should your contractor do? Are you holding him accountable for timeline now? Because that's not a reasonable expectation, right? So if you can have the transparency of billing and say, okay, well, I have a person that I'd like you to buy your hardwood from, and here's his name and number, and then he can deal with that person direct, then you're still going to get what you would normally get, what you would pay, and he's going to then make sure it's on site and ready to go when you need it. The other thing that really works well is quantities. If you're ordering materials, you're also responsible for quantities. It becomes really important in things like hardwood and tile. If you're out a little bit and you're a box short, that's a monumental change in scope, really, because the hardwood installer is going to be done in the middle of the day looking for the hardwood, so he's going to be sitting around, so there's going to be some cost starting to incur. You're going to be getting a call in the middle of the day, hey, you're a box of hardwood short, you're in the middle of work, you've got to try to find this box of hardwood, and now you've got to get it there because you've got your guy waiting for you. Okay, these things start to snowball and make your renovation a really unpleasant experience. If you can trust your contractor and build a good relationship with him, then he can look after these things for you.
One of the things we teach our RAIN members is to systematize, make our properties a little turnkey system, like make every property the same, like same paint colors, same backsplash, same tile material, same materials. Are you open to working with us if we provided you, here's the list of what I like my properties to look like, and then you go use your buying power at Home Depot or wherever to negotiate on that on our behalf? Is that something, or do you have a set list of materials you use as well?
Both.
Both, okay.
Okay, so if you have a set list of materials, that's great. One of the advantages of also dealing with a good contractor is if you've got a timeline, you just bought a property, you're going to flip it. Now you've done all your legwork in terms of finances. The next, there's a lot of steps now that have to happen depending on the scope or the complexity of your renovation. And the real key in shortening that window is to have all of these things planned and ordered ahead of time. So whether you're you're picking these things on your own and providing the list, you're going to save a huge amount of time for your contractor. Either that, or a good contractor is going to have to sit down with you and come up with everything before the project actually starts. And if he doesn't do that, you're behind the eight ball before you get going.
Right. Now, one of the things that I guarantee everyone, list of everyone's top of mind would be, what happens? I've hired you. It sounds wonderful. You've come in within 95%. You come in within 5% of the budget. The work is done, and then all of a sudden, after the fact, something goes wrong with some of the work. Do you have warranties in place? Do you have guarantees? How do I get you to come back if something was done wrong?
So our company, we offer 10-year warranty on all our craftsmanship. You have any problems, you call us, we go, we fix it. No questions asked. Again, dealing with any reputable contractor, they should be able to offer that. Some of the pitfalls in dealing with a handyman, or maybe you found a plumber who's a friend of a friend, they say he's a good guy, he'll do some cash for you, and he'll offer you a better price. And maybe initially, you know what, you will, you'll save a few dollars. And this might work once or twice, but there's going to come a time when that guy doesn't do a good job, and you're really taking risk is what you're doing, because you're hoping that guy shows up, you're hoping he does a good job, because the reality is there's no warranty with that guy, right? He's coming, he's going to make some dollars, and even in all fairness to him, it becomes an issue of manpower. If I'm a one-person show, and I get a call and I need to go fix something, but I've got Mr. Jones over here and I'm right in the middle of doing his bathroom. Now, I have to make a decision. I have to say, okay, Mr. Jones, you know what? I've got to leave your bathroom now because I have to go and fix something that happened over here under warranty. So now not only is he going to be getting Mr. Jones upset here, he's going to lose out on the revenue. He's going to potentially upset a customer. Should I go? Shouldn't I go? You know, his intentions are probably good. He knows he should go, but then he's got a person standing right in front of him that needs their washroom finished. And in all likelihood, he's going to stay there. He's not going to go, not because he's a bad person or a crooked contractor, but because of manpower and time pressures, it just doesn't happen. It's just impossible for him to do.
So in that same line of questioning, I'm asking the question is, how would I get myself on the top of your list to make my job a priority to you? So you're going to get some insights onto, and I was actually, Perry and I briefly talked about this. I was shocked when he gave me the answer to this, and it's actually quite easy to do. So Perry, how do I get on the top of your list to get priority over other jobs?
Cash flow. So
so pay. Pay on time.
You know what? Pay on time. Even with what we do, we spend an inordinate amount of time trying to collect on payments. And for no other reason except that I didn't have my checkbook today. I wasn't ready. You know what? I'm going away next week. Can you see me in 2 weeks? I'll have it for you. So there's no refuting the work was done and that they're happy with the work. It's just the last, and we always call it the last 10%. For a contractor, the last 10% is the hardest 10% to collect, because now we're done, right? Mm-hmm. So the customer has what they need, and the contractor has no more leverage because they've left the house and they're on to the next project. So if you really want to develop a relationship with a person and you really want to make a contractor happy, when the job is done, and if you trust them and he has warranties in place, there should be no issue in paying them. Mm. You do that, your contractor will be on call anytime you want him to be.
Now, coming from a contract, people might go, well, that's self-serving for him. No, it's actually self-serving for us. If you actually pay your bills, you get elevated to the top of the pile. It's that simple. Now, you alluded to earlier the payment plan process. It's 10% up front, and then every 2 weeks there's a payment program on it based on actual work, or how does that work?
It is. For us, it's based on actual work.
Okay.
So anything we purchase during that time period, we copy all the receipts, and they're put with that invoice, and then any hours that are there for that, we put with that invoice, and you only pay what we did. So it's not like you can get trapped into some deals where there's milestone payments. If the contractor reaches this stage, he gets a lump sum. If the contractor reaches this stage, he'll get the lump sum, which makes it sound like it might be safe for the investor, but really it drives the contractor to only get that thing finished. And if he does that, then technically by your contract, you do have to, it's time to pay. And I find, I've heard many stories where people have hit those milestones, but the contractor missed a lot of steps, but they hit that milestone. And you really have to be wary of that. One other point I would like to point out, if you're dealing with any contractor and you don't have a contract, I think you're setting yourself up right from the beginning. You, take the time. We've spent years developing our contract that was just fair for the investor or the end user and for us, so that when you start the project, you understand the payment terms, you know what he's looking for, you understand your needs, you can have your timelines put down in the contract, you can build out a schedule, you can build out a budget, take the time to sign up for these, sign off on all of these things, so that you know before you start your project exactly what you're in for. You've done all this work up front to find out it was a good property. Keep that work going so that by time the hammer starts swinging, everything is already set. There really shouldn't be much left to question unless there's a change in scope. And that should only happen with a conversation before it actually the work gets done, okay? Which should require open communication between you and your contractor.
So 10% upfront, every 2 weeks we pay based upon actual work done on a discounted cost that you get, plus a cost-up model that you build. You provide all the receipts, you provide all the time, you provide all the GPS hours of people coming to our properties, and I hold you accountable to a contract that we have signed and timelines at the same time, and you come through. That sounds like a pretty good working relationship, does it not? So one final question before we end this, and this may sound like a confusing question, but it's not intended,
okay. Is...
What question am I not asking that I should be asking you right about now?
A key question is timelines are so important for the investor. You really need to find out the actual size and resources of your contractor's crew and how many jobs he has on the go. Because that's what's going to make or break your job. Because a contractor is going to sign contracts and take jobs. Right? There's very few contractors who are going to say, you know what, I'm too busy, I'm going to turn that down. Timelines being as important, nobody really asks that question. Very few of our customers ask that question, and I think it's an extremely important one.
Right. Wow. Well, Don, I reiterate, I think this is extremely, for you and Dustin to come out here, I think this is extremely good for you and transparent, very brave of you as contractors come out. And here's, you, in essence, are changing the way... homeowners and investors should be working with contractors. So I think the team from T-Rock should get a huge round of applause for that, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Great.